B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Super Bowl, but they can cause a big impact on who does win the Super Bowl. And that would be my argument against it. Hope you guys have a great day.
Dave, where are you an athletic director? What high school down there?
South River High School in Annapolis, or near Annapolis, Maryland.
Okay, I have a family member who's the AD down at Calvert Hall down there.
Okay, yep.
Good.
Private school down here. They traditionally have great baseball, basketball.
He's the head baseball coach, too. Yeah.
Yep. So, now I'm heading down 27 days, heading down to Clearwater for 5 days. So it's right as spring training breaks for the regular season. I'll be coming home. So good times ahead in March. And, that would be my argument against this expanded playoff.
You too, Dave. Appreciate it. I wonder if he's going to have the Kingslayer, Annapolis, make the drive to Dundalk. Beautiful tropical Dundalk, Maryland.
Now, what's on the Kingslayer again?
The Kingslayer, it's a
burger?
It's fries. It's not onion rings.
Okay.
Miss Cousy. It's fries. It's, I believe, lobster meat, crab meat on a burger, and I want it in my mouth.
Trey, you can't have it.
Okay,
you're out.
I think
Mark's
he's trolling you.
I think he is.
What are you talking about?
You put a Jeff cap on, and you just troll Trey all day. Okay. I see what you're doing, Mark.
I walk in with this hat. Trey's like, okay. I'm only 2 days in. In 2 days in, you're good. You're strong. Yeah, sure. Yeah, you got goals. You got great goals ahead of you.
Man. What was your breakdown? Chipotle last time?
Yeah, Chipotle did it last time.
All right,
yeah,
don't let that happen.
I needed a bowl. Yeah. But I go to there's a little spot that's right across from Chipotle. Get me some vegan spaghetti like thing with some eggplant meatballs.
When you go to Chipotle, you go bowl?
Oh, yeah. Go bowl.
Yeah, no.
I'll do a burrito.
Actually, that man right over there, two greatest introductions ever in my life. Jamie Lynch is responsible for both of them.
Your wife?
My wife, well, I'm going in order here.
Oh, my fault.
So, Chipotle, my wife, no. Chipotle, he's told me about this place, and he's like, yeah, you got to get one while you're there, and you get one to go. Like, you get like another one for later.
Yeah.
Heat up in the old oven, you're good to go. And then what I like so much about Chipotle is that I can eat half of it, and then I sit it down, the burrito.
Oh, yeah.
And I stare at it for a second, and I go, this is a great moment.
I can't quit you.
And then I finish. I'm like, my meal can sit upright. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's get to, I got to tell you that you're listening to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Talking a lot of Sixers today, a lot of Flyers today. Very impressive win for the Flyboys last night, winning in overtime. You just heard all the highlights from that, from both games. More people today, and I think our Twitter poll is going along the lines, more people today are impressed with the Flyers' victory last night, as they should be, than the Sixers' victory. I get a sense from Sixers fans during and after that game, it's like, yeah, you better win this game. No Ben Simmons? Whatever. Hollow Nettles, your starting point guard? Whatever. Joel Embiid's playing in this game. You better win this game. And JoJo showed up late. He struggled in the middle portion of this game, but everybody on the Sixers was struggling in the middle portion of this game. And Al Horford.
I was going to say, it was not a coincidence that everybody started struggling when Al Horford came in.
Second unit comes in. Sixers build up something like an 18-4 lead. And then the second unit came in, and the wheels came off. And somebody tweeted me last night, as a matter of fact, that they went in, like, oh, yeah, this game's a rout. I'm going to go in the kitchen, do the dishes. Came back, Sixers were down 20.
Yeah.
Like,
literally 20.
It was an about phase. Like, they went from being up 20 to down 20 in what seemed like a blink of an eye.
It was.
And then you go back and you look at the box score with Al Horford. And Al Horford's plus minus on the night was eye-popping. Minus 26 in just 19 minutes played for Al Horford.
So he was minus his original 11 minutes. He was a minus 30. And I saw the stat last night that in NBA history, only 7 other players had been a minus 30 in 10 minutes or more.
Mm.
So he made the history books last night, Al.
Okay, how many others? 7 others?
7. He became the 8th.
Is he the highest paid of the 7?
Oh, I would bet good money on that.
Of the 8 now.
I would bet good money on that.
We like to research everything.
Yeah.
We don't want to leave a stone left unturned.
I'll try to find that out, but I feel safe in betting that one.
Hey, Sal, okay. We're terrible. But he was eye-popping last night. It was so terrible. Meanwhile, the Flyers fight. They do everything they needed to do. They look great. You flip over to back to the Sixers. Things were starting to fall apart for them. But yet, the guy that was their leader, more or less, on the court last night was Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And after the game, the drama was there, as per usual. During the game, the drama was there because missed shots from the Sixers last night led to boos. And this is really before even they were losing in the game. And Trey, you think we have arrived at a destination right now in Philadelphia where, yeah, we're always known for boos and booing and all that stuff. But you think that this is now a two-person play. It's Joel Embiid and it's the fans. Where the fans are saying, okay, if you want us to boo, if you need us to get you to that level, then by all means, we'll boo.
Oh, yeah, we will accommodate.
Because what used to just be him taking a three and we just kind of go, oh, man, it's now gone, boo. Mm-hmm. Or Al Horford takes a three, misses, boo. Yeah. If they make it, oh, yeah, we cheer. Mm-hmm. But if they miss, we boo.
Well, that's what it seems like. You need that fire. So when you come out and you want to poke fans and like, oh, yeah, all right. Mm. Well, here you go.
Yeah.
Since you respond to that negative energy or whatever, you need that. Well, then, there you go.
They let it flow through them. And last night, it certainly was flowing through. Because it came through the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I guess it might be a back and forth thing now. Like, yeah. It could be. He's got a lot surrounding him that can get him going. He, you know, Ben wasn't there last night. Apparently now he hates Charles Barkley too.
Yeah,
as he showed in the TNT interview.
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah. Well, that's the drama after the game I was referring to. It was the
beautiful
the look at Charles Barkley that Joel Embiid gave in the post game interview with Ali LaForce.
Angel reporter,
journalist.
I can't wait for
March Madness. She asked great questions, and the question she asked of Joel Embiid was a great question. Do you want to wish happy birthday to Charles Barkley? She knew what she was doing.
Oh, yeah.
Don't act like my girl don't know what's what. So she asked the question, and then he gave the stink eye. He was like, yo, happy birthday, Sir Charles. And then, gave a
look. Like,
he gave a side eye on the walk-off.
And I thought they were going right to the Rockets game. I was out. Like, I was in bed probably when that was happening. Yeah. And then he goes into the locker room, and this was even better. Well, first he goes to the press conference and says he's the greatest player in the world. Then he goes to the post-game in the locker room, and he has Alec Burks ring the bell. After he played, 29 minutes? He ended up with 30 minutes last night?
Yeah.
So, Joel Embiid just impressed me all around last
night.
It was great. Not as much as TK, though, Bob. Don't worry. TK impressed me more. But Joel Embiid
I give the nod to Joel last night.
Really?
TK, he's at a level that, you know, we've seen. Yeah, we've rarely seen. I mean, you're talking Gretzky-ish and all that. But, as far as carrying a team last night, I'll give the nod to Joel Embiid.
Look at you.
Yeah.
That's a big day for you. I feel like we're growing.
Yeah.
Last night, Joel Embiid willed the team to victory is basically what happened towards the end. He got the help off the bench. Brett Brown corrected the mistake finally of Howell Neto. He still played a lot of minutes, but Alec Burks was the guy that ended up really being that spark off the bench that you needed.
And down the stretch, Brett did a good job, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday. He went offense-defense because you're going to get a lot of stoppages in close games late, and he went Thibault defensively, and he went Burks offensively a lot of times. He got Neto out of there defensively when he needed to. So he did a better job down the stretch. The Sixers did a really good job ending the first half. They were down 20. I think they finished the first half with like a 12-2 run or something to cut it to 10. And then at the end of the game, they finished that with like an 8-2 with like an 8-2 run to force the overtime. So it's always been a concern with Brett Brown coach teams, how they finish halves and games. Last night, they finished them strong, and almost all of that had to do with Joel Embiid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And then the other part of it is Ben Simmons not playing. They looked like a team, especially when the second unit came in. They looked like a team that didn't have their starting point guard. Their starting all-star point guard.
And there's no mistake that only 4 3-pointers last night, that's, you know, maybe the bad shooting night. That's definitely an effect of not having Ben Simmons out there.
That's where you're really missing the kickouts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just drawing defenders away from the three-point line.
Mm-hmm. And I could have sworn Joel Embiid airballed a three. Maybe his foot was on the line, because the box score is 1-for-1, but last night it didn't look like that.
No, he airballed a three.
What do I always say? Numbers don't lie, but they do deceive.
Yeah.
That number's lying, as far as I'm concerned.
DeAndre Jordan felt bad on the drive and then step back and then he air balled a three.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So you ain't fooling me none, to use that expression one more time. Now, Ben Simmons being out, legit back stiffness, because we talked about this earlier, legit back stiffness or load management after the All-Star game? I'll go first. I'll take the bullet first. I say legit.
Okay.
I say it's legit back stiffness. And my evidence to that and why I think that is of how he was coming off the bench last night to root on his teammates.
Uh-huh.
Everything was gingerly was the term that came to mind.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was cautious. Every movement was
calculated.
Cautious. It was very calculated. Uh-huh. And even his claps were non-enthusiastic.
Not too aggressive.
Exactly.
Okay.
Legit or load management?
I'm going to go with we're banning participation in the All-Star game. From here on out, done. No more Sixers playing in the All-Star game. That's it. No.
All right.
Because you can't come back. You don't come back from the All-Star game, right?
The All-Star game curse, you might say.
Yeah.
All right. So you say legit, not legit.
I say legit.
Legit. Bobby.
I'll say 85-90% legit.
85-90%. Okay. So that means if it was a bigger game?
If it was a playoff game, he'd have been out there.
Okay. I agree. Jamie Lynch?
Yeah, legit. Okay. Apparently, did it in practice on Wednesday.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's not the fan theory that's been out there, but whatever.
Well, I mean, his Instagram Monday and Tuesday, the optics of it aren't great when you come back and miss a game, but no, I believe it's legit.
Some say he loved people. That's what some people were saying.
And they were boat partying in the islands.
Yeah.
You know, optically, it doesn't look great, but I don't believe it's from that.
So here's what crossed my mind when it was announced that he was not going to be playing in the game. And first off, game time decision, game came, decision was made, he wasn't playing.
And you know the thing that I think we all love about Ben is that probably ticked him off he couldn't play last night.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just had a rant the other day about how the guy works his ass off and the guy wants to play and he's Allen Iverson-like when it comes to game day. But when it comes to yesterday's game, the first thing that crossed my mind was, first off, damn it.
Did he invite Embiid back to the candy room?
Yeah.
That was the first thing that crossed your mind, right?
All right. The fourth thing that crossed my mind was, the All-Star game was fun and it was competitive. But do we really want it to be? Like, I know everyone said, I'm not going to watch the All-Star game. It's not competitive. Well, it's not supposed to be competitive. It's an exhibition.
Get better mop boys that miss the wet spots on the floor so Ben doesn't trip and fall.
But I think the basketball game is like the... Out of all the All-Star games, I would say, you know, the NBA one is probably the better.
I would say baseball is still number one.
Too.
Yeah. I like baseball. Yeah.
I like the weekend of basketball, though. It just seems.
The whole weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is better. But in just the game itself, I do like the baseball All-Star game over the NBA All-Star game.
Okay.
But with that being said, they made the NBA basketball All-Star game at least have the most competitive fourth quarter ever in the history of the All-Star game. And that was great. But do we really want the All-Star game to be that competitive? When it's going to end up maybe costing a player an actual regular season game. And in the case last year with Joel Embiid, what, 8 regular season games after playing 21 minutes in the All-Star game?
Yeah.
He comes back, and then you don't see him for 8 more weeks? Or 8 more games? Really?
Yeah.
So I know we all, it's so competitive, it's so great. And I was caught up in the moment, too. But it's like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be competitive. Like, I understand you want to drive ratings and all that. I understand that. But
just make it a 48-minute kind of workout.
Maybe just have the fourth. Just have the fourth
layup
quarter.
Drill? Yeah.
Just have the fourth quarter.
Oh, okay.
All right, coming up.
Take charges or anything.
Yes. Coming up in our next segment, 8:30. We're going to speak to our lovebirds.
Aww.
You know what? I shouldn't even say love. I don't want to put pressure on them.
Nah.
But they're probably going to get married. But anyway, these two people haven't met yet. This will be the first time they converse. It's for our courting on the court contest. The brainchild of Trey Thomas, where we take two people, put them on a blind date at the Sixers game on Monday night against the Hawks. Bob and Jamie, you'll be the chaperones. We're going to have these two people go on a blind date scene in court level at the Sixers, courtesy of the great people of Rothman Orthopedics, and I believe love will blossom from
this. I've never been a chaperone before, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
No.
I've been a chaperone. I would imagine the kids would listen to you.
Yeah, so on school trips and stuff like that. Yeah, I've done that many times.
That was awesome when I was a chaperone. I got everybody fast passes, and they hung out.
Yeah.
Boom.
Well, Jamie's not allowed because it's in his blood to be a terrible chaperone.
Well, his dad took a group to Hooters when they were
that's what I'm saying.
Second grade.
Usually I'm the one being chaperoned.
Even now. That's why we got married, so we had chaperones follow us around. All right, Tommy, coming up, we'll inspire love. Time of the Fanatic, 8:14.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right. We are going to talk to Elena and Matt coming up at the bottom of the hour, about 6 minutes. We'll talk to our blind date couple that we are sending to the Sixers-Hawks game on Monday night with Bob and Jamie as our chaperones for that game and for that little matchmaking. You go on a date on the Tinder and you go on a date on Bumble, for instance. You're not getting a date as good as a court-level ticket here. So you're getting matched up with that date. These two, Elena and Matt, will be matched up. The drinks are on us. They're on Rothman Orthopedics. The parking is on us. It's on Rothman Orthopedics. And they're helping us out greatly by sending these two up. This is a brainchild of Trey Thomas to introduce love and affection between Matt and Elena. They'll be joining us in just a couple of minutes. Now, what unfortunately was not a match made in heaven, and we've talked about this throughout the morning, the Sixers win last night. The Flyers win last night. Temple wins in overtime last night. Double overtime for the Temple Owls. But the other thing that we got into a little bit was that the Phillies won yesterday. The Phillies won yesterday in their arbitration case over JT Realmuto. And in the grand scheme of things, it's a business of the game. It's a very simple thing. It's just a business. However, we can all agree that it's a really bad look when a guy who your manager and your general manager have acknowledged at different points he's the best catcher in baseball and you're getting him right now at a bargain rate at 28 years old in JT Realmuto, it's a bad look to quibble over $2.5 million. Is it what had to happen because they didn't get a deal agreed to beforehand? Yes. But it's still a bad look when he walks into a room and sitting there at the table is Matt Klentak and your scouts or whoever it may be saying we don't think he should get the $2.5 million even though he's the best catcher in baseball. Like, it's just a bad look for the Phillies.
JT, we don't want to do this, but we have to.
Yeah, it's a bad look that they didn't get it done beforehand. It's a bad look that now they have to quibble over $2.5 million. As I said, gentlemen, Matt and Elena are going to be joining us momentarily. Now, I just want to make sure we're good as far as numbers are concerned. I think we're calling them right now, and we'll get them on. We'll have ourselves a nice little conversation. 610-632-0975. If you want to get in, we got some open lines for you. But back to that Sixers game real quick, because we haven't talked about this enough. It looked like a team right before the All-Star break in their last game against the Clippers that kind of had a key unlocked to the door. And that door was slammed closed and locked when it came to the spacing on the court. Everybody was kind of cramped. It was like an escape room. And with this little turn of the key, everybody was set free. And You were allowed to, you had that spacing, you had that ability to roam on the court a little bit. Nothing seemed congested. And although last night, I didn't think, even with Ben Simmons being out, I didn't think spacing was an issue by any means, but it just looked like that fluidity, the motion that you would usually see maybe in the offense that you saw right before the break, that wasn't there. Guys were looking, they were looking for where they were supposed to be on the court, which was an odd thing. But I think all that comes down to Ben Simmons not being there. The guy that runs the show wasn't there for the Sixers last night. And that's ultimately what I think really led to the demise with the second unit.
So that leads me to this question. Which one, because the offense flows better, which one does it do? Does it affect more, the offense? Ben not being there or Embiid not being in the offense?
I think Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ben's running. Good question. Ben's running the show.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
I think without Ben, Joel has a hell of a lot more to make up for.
Mm-hmm.
I think without Joel, Ben is more open to go to the rim. I think he's more open to scoring. That's why, because people only pay attention to scoring. The people that are complaining about Ben Simmons either not being able to coexist on the court with Joel Embiid, there's more to the game than just you scoring. It's about the team scoring.
Yeah.
And Ben looks a lot better when Joel Embiid's not in there because he's going to the rim more. He's more aggressive. When he does have Joel Embiid, an MVP candidate type player, oh, God forbid he try to use him. But that's where Ben looks so much better without Joel Embiid in that one area. Everything else is still there, but it's not just supposed to be the Ben Simmons show. It's supposed to be the Sixers. Mm-hmm. And I still think they're better with both those guys playing.
Yeah.
Last night, Joel Embiid had a hell of a lot to make up for without Ben Simmons in the game.
You know, and you can play both ways. I don't know why it's such a puzzle. You know, there's a guy that's the all-time leading scorer in the NBA, and he has been for a long, long time, and that's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And he got many, many, many of those points playing on a team that was called Showtime, led by Magic Johnson, who ran all over the place. They ran up and down the floor all the time. Abdul-Jabbar wasn't a sprinter. He was a plotter. And he wasn't as athletic as Embiid. And somehow he scored a majority of all those 33,000 points in an offense called Showtime. You can coexist. They're still trying to figure it out, but my God, I want both of them on the court at the same time. I don't want to have to do with one without the other.
Yeah, and look, I'm not trying to read too much into one game before the All-Star break, but when you have been yearning, Trey, yearning for the fluidity in the offense, spacing to be there, and you see it finally, and then in the first game back, Ben can't play for what I believe is a legit back stiffness injury, and you want him to be 100% come Saturday against the Bucks, then I'm fine with him just taking a breather, if you will. And yes, it doesn't look good either. You talk about aesthetics, just things not looking, the optics, things don't look good with JT Romuto and not getting $2.5 million. It also doesn't look good to come back from an All-Star game that was uber competitive and not have your starting point guard. That's a bad look as well.
Yeah, it's a why can't we have nice things type of moment.
You know what? Maybe we can have nice things.
Maybe we can.
Trey?
Yes.
Maybe we can have nice things.
I think so, too.
And this whole thing was your idea.
No, thank you.
And I trust, because it was your idea and you're a man with good vibes, you, sir, are, you're going to put some love in the air.
Oh, yeah, man. That's what I do.
And that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, on the line with us, the winners of our Rothman Orthopedic court-level tickets, where they will be chaperoned by Bob and Jamie, two people that have never conversed before. They merely saw an opportunity at 97.5 The Fanatic with Farzana and Trey in the morning and said, you know what? I'm going to throw caution into the wind. I'm going to go on a blind date.
Because we love love.
We love love.
Gotta love love.
Yeah. So we said, you know, let's put some more love in that Wells Fargo Center. Let's set up a couple to go to the game on a blind date. And we called this courting on the court. Now, first, because ladies first, we're going to speak to the very lovely Elena. By the way, let me say this. We had about 175 people register for this on our website. All right, so to our listeners, you guys are thirsty. Not for nothing. And Elena and Matt are our winners. Let's talk to Elena first. She describes herself as a 4-for-4 Philly sports fan and follower, a daily listener of the morning and afternoon shows here. She is single. All right, now, we've talked to a swinger before, but we weren't necessarily looking for that. We didn't want to complicate it more than it already was. And she's looking for someone who is a Philadelphia sports fan and shares as much fandom as she does. And she's a hard worker. She says she's hard to keep up with. She has a professional career. She's an Ivy League educated young lady. She's Italian.
Uh-huh.
Never hurts to put that in. And then she loves the show Seinfeld as well. So you know what? Without further ado,
quality Elena, people right there. That's all I needed.
Well, let's just meet Elena real quick. Elena, good morning.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. We're doing amazing. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. I'm doing all right. I'm super excited for this. Thank you for the opportunity, Trey. Thank you for the opportunity. You're the creator, so
thank you.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting Matt.
Okay. Now, so when we called you, what do you know so far? Courtside seats, did our dating experts that made our algorithm to match you two, did they tell you anything about Matt?
I know nothing about Matt. I want to see if the algorithm's on point. So you know way more than I do.
Okay.
So my trust is in your hands right now.
Oh, this is wonderful, Elena. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna put you back on hold for just a second here. You stay right there. And now, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce to you Matt, the eligible bachelor. He says he's a pretty normal guy. Ha ha. That's what he wrote.
That wins.
That wins. He says he loves to watch sports, obviously. He has a dog. Likes to take the dog to the dog park. He goes to the gym, so you know he's a fit fella. And he likes to hang with his friends and his family.
He must work out.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we introduce you to Matt. Matt, good morning, buddy.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. What made you want to register on our website for courting on the court?
Well, the online stuff's not working, so I figured I'd throw my name in the algorithm and go from there.
That's good. Look, it's not afraid to take a risk.
I'm gonna take a chance.
Caution is in the wind. All right. So we're gonna listen closely. Because I'm gonna lock in here our friend Elena real quick. Elena, do I have you?
You do.
All right, I'm gonna put Matt back on the line, and let's just listen for the sparks to fly. Trey, do you want to introduce them officially?
I present to you Matt and Elena.
Okay, Matt, Elena,
Matt, Elena, Matt. There you go.
There we go. And two, by all means, the floor is yours, please.
All right. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Elena. Nice to meet you.
Guess we're just gonna have a conversation.
I'm happy to meet you in person. I can't wait. So it's great that you go to the gym. So do I. I'm super excited. Is there anything more I should know about you?
Obviously I'm 4-5. I love Seinfeld. Curb Your Enthusiasm is another good one. And
nice.
Yeah, just looking forward to hanging out Monday night. Me, you, Jamie, and Bob should be a good time.
Okay, now
could it be more perfect?
Yeah, no, they both like sports and they like Seinfeld.
Oh my God,
I'm convinced. I see children in the future.
Look at that,
Matt. Now Elena just asked you, Matt, a question. So Matt, go ahead and if you have anything you'd like to ask Elena, by all means, please ask.
Wow, God, put me on the spot. I got nothing. I'm more nervous about this phone call than the actual case.
Elena, you're into squats. Do you do squats? Because I know you go to the gym a lot. Squats?
Sure. Yeah,
squats. Huh? No, I'm talking to Elena, not you.
Hold on, Matt. Yeah.
I'm a squat expert, so.
Okay, there you go. See that? There you go. See that?
I need help on my form.
Yeah, see that? There you go.
Oh, look at this.
Working on that, yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Oh, this couldn't go any better.
It's going well. It's going well. I can't wait to see how this plays out, man. This is going to be good. I think you guys are going to have a good time.
The only thing that could blow it is me or Jamie.
Yeah,
possibly. That's right. We'll
fill the off-air
with Seinfeld quotes, so, you know, it'll be
we'll steer clear.
Right. Elena, Matt, you guys, we're really looking forward to this. I know you guys are, too. And, you know, everything's pretty much on us for this night and the great people of Rothman and the 76ers. Can't wait to hear how this goes. We'll have you guys call in the next day, you know, if you have time. And we're just excited for the both of you. You seem like a couple of great people.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully it's a win, and Ben is hitting numerous jumpers, and Embiid's on his game, and loves in the air. It's going to be a great time.
Aww.
Yeah. Look at that.
Matt, not for nothing.
Me and Jamie might hold
him. I've been slapping Embiid in the ass.
Whatever it takes.
I'll be part of that.
Oh, okay. Look at that.
I'll join. I'm not shy.
Look at this. They're already planning activities together. This is great.
And maybe we'll boo. I don't know. Maybe we'll boo. We'll see if it warrants.
Well, like the ass slap, whatever it takes. All right, Matt, Elena.
We'll be right there. They can hear us.
Matt and Elena, thank you so much. We will
thank
be checking
guys.
Back with you guys a little bit later. Enjoy your night, Monday night together with Bob and Jamie as well. We expect nothing but a great report.
Hopefully they're on their best behavior, but we know we will be. So.
Okay. All right.
We can't promise that, Elena.
All right. Now the last thing I have to ask you, and Matt, I'll ask you first. Okay. So I'll ask you this question first, and then Elena, I'll ask you. Matt, are you the guy on a first date that will kiss on the first date?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's a good answer. All right. Elena, are you generally the lady that will kiss on a first date?
It depends. Possibly if the vibe is right. If the vibe's right, so.
Another good answer.
No, you can't put it out there like that.
Exactly. Elena, Matt, thank you guys so much. I hope you have a great time on the date. We'll be checking back with you guys a little bit later. That's how you play it.
Yeah,
as the guy, you got to go, yeah.
Of course.
Like, yeah. If it's right. Yeah,
if she'll allow.
And exactly. Yeah. If she would do me the honor of.
Aww.
Right?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. If I will ask her father. And then the lady's like, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I pulled out the vibe. It depends on how the vibe is going, how the thing is going, you know?
All right. Now, here's what it seems like. It seems like they're both very, they're eager to get on this date. And it's not just for the court level tickets. It seems like they will really legitimately enjoy each other's company.
Yeah, I think so.
But I will say this to our friend Matt. Elena sounds like a handful.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a fireball.
She seems like a fireball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's going to be, Matt might be, I hope Matt's up for the challenge.
It. It's in her profile. Yeah, exactly. Lot to keep up with.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the fact that we didn't know that he was a Seinfeld fan as well.
Uh-huh.
That's very encouraging.
Because when you think about it, there's what? Maybe not even 100 Seinfeld fans out there?
It's like 70.
There's like 70 people that like the show Seinfeld. And we, through our algorithm, found two people that really like Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And by the way, Elena wrote the thing about Seinfeld. I look at the profile Matt wrote up, nothing about Seinfeld.
We didn't
Seinfeld.
Know that. That's no, we didn't.
That's how much of a coincidence.
There was one other thing that Elena had in her profile that was awesome, what she said about... She doesn't get offended by something, I mean?
My apologies. Yeah. Elena does not, she says she has a great sense of humor. She says she's fun and in no way take offense to Trey's ball shaving commercials.
Yeah, she's going to be a
winner.
Handful. She's a winner.
Good sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's key to a good marriage, in my opinion.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, Matt, feel free to talk about almost anything on this first date.
Make sure you manscape.
It's a beautiful thing we've done. It's a beautiful thing we've
love
done.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. It's in the air and it smells beautiful. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, there's some more post-game drama, but it's actually the kind of drama that I embrace. I absolutely embrace it, and it has to do with our man Joel Embiid. Also, we'll come up coming up at about 9:15. We'll talk to our man Kevin Nagandy of ESPN, Temple University Zone, Philadelphia Zone. Kevin Nagandy. We'll talk about the entire Philadelphia sports landscape with him, including Trey, the NFL, and the schedule changes they want to make.
Yeah.
The schedule changes and the playoff expansion that the NFL wants to take part in for this upcoming season. The extended regular season wouldn't take part till 2021, but the extended playoffs, that would take place this coming postseason.
Wow.
So that happens quick.
Yeah, they really capitalize on those dollars.
Yeah, we'll get into that in a second, but we'll also let you hear from Joel Embiid and some great post-game stuff that happened after last night's win over the Brooklyn Nets without Ben Simmons. 610-632. Wide open board for you. If you want to get in, now's a good time for you. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 8:40.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you guys see this thing yesterday? It was actually the most amazing thing. Like, I would put Joel Embiid's double Euro step, whatever you would call that, as the second most amazing thing. The most amazing thing that I saw yesterday was the woman having brain surgery.
Oh, yeah.
As she was playing the violin.
That's crazy.
That's so that they know they don't hit something that, like, takes away their motor skill.
That's right. It was astounding. Like, she said, look, I want to make sure that I can still play this instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, well, you play it while we do the surgery. And
what if she was really bad? You think the doctor would have been like, oh, geez.
You're a little off.
Yeah.
I'm just going to touch this, see if I can make it better.
What if I was making mistakes in my profession the way you're making them now? Like, good luck, lady. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
That was cool.
On both parts. One, the lady playing the violin, because that's supposed to be like one of the hardest instruments to really master. And then the brain surgeon while all that was happening. It's all over social media. I saw it on Instagram. Instagram is really stepping up their game with information over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a fine job for themselves. Yeah. Sam, what are the good people of Twitter saying about our Twitter poll?
Today we're asking, did the Sixers win enough for you last night, for example, like the Flyers? Yes or no? We have 1,500 votes now, and it remained the same. 51% are saying yes.
Yeah, people are looking at the Sixers last night like, should have won that game. Shouldn't have been that close. Yeah, Ben Simmons yesterday getting into the idea that he wasn't playing because of back stiffness. We all believe it. So Joel Embiid had to step up. And that's exactly what Joel Embiid did. He stepped up in the game.
Oh,
39 points, played phenomenal. 41 minutes played in this one. The man looked in 18 of 19 from the free throw line. Yeah. So he was getting fouled. He was taking hits. He was going to the line. He was showing durability. It was a great scene for Joel Embiid. But after the game is when the little trolling event happened. Joel Embiid gets asked by Ali LaForce after the game. And, Jamie, you were telling me about this. And Ali LaForce...
such a great look.
She knew exactly what she was doing.
Yeah.
Ali LaForce, you little troll. She was trolling Joel Embiid. And she does the post-game interview before they send it back to TNT, right, before to the home studio. And she says, hey, it's Charles Barkley's birthday. Do you want to wish Charles a happy birthday? And Joel Embiid kind of gave a look. You know what I'll describe it as? So I interviewed Jake Elliott recently, Eagles kicker, about the throw because it was a big deal in the All or Nothing. Well, it's a big deal during the season, too, but in the All or Nothing special. I asked him about practicing that play, and I asked him about the underthrows. And he gave me a look where he, like, shook his head, like, oh, man, you're going to ask me about this? Like, that's the look Joel Embiid gave. Like, oh, you're really going to ask me about Charles Barkley, a guy that I don't exactly like right now, a guy that's trying to spread hate about me and my teammate Ben Simmons, who's my best friend in the whole wide world? And that's the kind of look he gave. He's critiqued my game, and he's questioned my relationship with another star player on my team.
Well, he had the quote, you know, I said this years ago, that the media was always going to try and break us up. And, you know, that was out there. So now I think he views all of this as a divisiveness that the outside is trying to put in that locker room.
You can call me the process, but call me the prophet.
Yeah. So I don't think he's there for it anymore.
I don't think so either. And Ali LaForce asked him the question, and he looks extremely upset by it. And he just kind of looks away and looks back, looks away, looks back, and then goes, happy birthday, Sir Charles. And then he gives a look like, and you can go to hell too.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, I don't blame him even a little bit for it. We were all on board with Charles offering the critique of, hey, this can't be an option of when you're going to play great there, JoJo. Mm-hmm. We were all on board with Shaq saying it can't be an option when you're going to flip the switch, JoJo. And Joel Embiid, he took it like it was a post-game mentoring, not a post-game press conference. This was months ago now. And then Joel Embiid came out in his Players Tribune article and said, I know that's what Chuck and Shaq have said to me, and I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm going to continue to be me because this isn't the 1990s anymore. I got to play in the modern era of the game. And I agree with that to a point, but he knows what the message was, and it was received. But then Chuck went the next step and started questioning, and we pointed this out and played it for you many times on this show. Over the All-Star break, Charles Barkley going against Ernie Johnson, who said, oh, there's Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who, unlike the regular season, will be going against each other tonight. And then Chuck chimed in with the, well, it's kind of like the regular season anyway, right? Ha, 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 ha. Well, no doubt Joel Embiid heard that. So then he sends it back to the studio with a nasty look at Charles Barkley, who message received. He knew that stank eye was for him.
He Barkley had this look of, he was talking about somebody behind their back and then turned around and the person was standing behind him. And he was like, uh-oh. Yeah. I mean, he just had that look of,
yeah,
damn, you caught me.
Yeah,
I got no.
Sorry for cussing.
No, he didn't. He didn't curse, but Shaq was in there, and Jamie, he was eating it up, wasn't he?
Shaq was good to one. Shaq was like, ooh, Charles, that's the look I give you. I know that look. And I was like, that's why they're great. I mean, for the most part.
Yeah.
Oh, they do have a weird obsession with the Sixers this year.
Well, Charles,
but I get it. I mean, they are a somewhat disappointing powerhouse team that hasn't met expectations. So, you know, it's a natural talking point for the national media. I get it.
Mm-hmm. And Charles bet them.
Oh, totally. So probably pretty large.
Yeah, I would assume. And I don't think he does small bets.
He can't critique them without bringing up, oh, well, they were my pick to win it. I'm like, all right, Charles.
Yeah. Chuck isn't betting at the $10 tables.
Yeah.
He's like, we know the stories.
I was at a party with Barkley at place downtown. Somebody was leaving Comcast.
Okay.
And we were in a back room, and Boston was playing Tampa Bay in the American League Championship the year the Phillies won the World Series. And let's just say Charles, it looks like he bet Boston rather heavily that night. So I've seen how his rooting interest gets when there's money on the line. So, yeah.
Interesting.
He's sweating this out all 82 games this season.
All right, so that's a little drama that surrounded the Sixers last night. However, there is a great story in the locker room that took place. In this game, and we questioned this at tip, because we thought yesterday we had seen the last of Howell Neto, right? And we wouldn't really see him and playing. Not only was he playing, he started. And after he started, he went on to play 28 minutes in this overtime game, which, you know, doesn't sound awful, backup point guard without your starting point guard in there. But when you think about maybe having a better option of Josh Richardson running the point, maybe you have Alec Burks actually start out the game. That's not the way it worked out, unfortunately. Instead, you had Alec Burks coming off the bench, but he went on to play 30 minutes in this game. And he went on to score 19 points, a lot of them late in this one, especially in overtime where he helped seal the deal for the Sixers to win. So after the game, Joel Embiid gets handed the bell. After every Sixers win, they get handed a bell in the locker room, and somebody is the bell ringer tonight. And Brett Brown usually addresses that in his post-game press conference. Joel Embiid, 10 of 20 shooting, 1 for 1, allegedly, from the three-point line, and 18 of 19 from the free throw line, and five turnovers in the game. 39 points to go along with 16 rebounds, 6 of them offensive. Not too bad for Joel Embiid. So Brett Brown goes to hand him the bell to ring it after the game, and Joel Embiid goes, "No, man, give it to him," and points out Alec Burks, and Alec Burks takes the bell. And what do you do, Jamie?
He gave it a pretty weak ring.
I would say timid.
Yeah, timid. Yeah. Like a ding ding.
Like, "Hey guys, thanks for having me."
And Joel was like, "No, come on, man. Ring that bell." And then he gave it a pretty good shake. And then Josh Richardson came in and was like, "Nah, man. Like, really ring that bell.
This is the Liberty Bell, man. I want you to know. This is for America."
Yeah.
"You ring that bell."
It was a cool scene after the game.
Like, it was.
It was Joel Embiid leading that charge.
Good for him.
Exactly.
Yeah, good for him.
And he's such a terrible teammate.
Who said that?
Stupid people.
No, stop that.
Well, here's why people said it, Bob. Because after the game, Joel Embiid, to the media at least, made it about him. Here's Joel Embiid after the game, kind of patting himself on the back and giving himself, is he officially giving himself this title? Is that how we take it? Is he calling himself the greatest player?
Self-proclaimed,
Self-proclaimed? Let's take a listen. Joel Embiid post-game.
Been on the All-Star game, just proving that, you know, I'm here, I belong, in being the best player in the world. You know, I just intend to just, you know, keep coming out every single night, just play hard, trying to get wins, and, you know, just go out and trying to win the championship.
Greatest player in the world.
Yeah, that's self-proclaimed.
That's no doubt self-proclaimed, yeah. But is he saying he's working to be the best player in the world, or is he saying he already is?
Sounds like he said yes. Is that not what it is?
No, I'm just... He doesn't flat out say, "I am the best player in the world." Like, that's it's not an isolated statement, but he...
It's like a title he's given himself.
But it didn't sound
that's
like...
That's non-proven?
It didn't say like... Did he... Oh, right. Let me hear it again, Jimmy. Did he say...
Let's get it one more time, yeah.
You know, in the All-Star games.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.